Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe, because that's what we do here. We talk kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And WWE 2K18 is coming out.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Wait, so by the time this airs, because we're already, and please forgive us, because I get really busy, so I don't get a chance to put out the episodes as frequently as I should.
Yeah.
And I've been, that's my fault, and I will get better at that. So by the time this airs, I feel like the game will be out or close to being out.
I think it'll be close to. I don't think it'll be out.
Yeah. So let's just assume that it's out.
Okay. Let's assume it's not out, because when it's out, I want to do a whole episode dedicated to that.
Okay, so you know what? Let's assume that it's not out, and yeah. I will do my best to release this episode before it's not out.
Yeah.
So, it's coming out, and we know the roster. We know a few more details about the game since I think last time we talked about it.
Yeah, we know the DLC now.
Which I'm going to say...
underwhelming. But the characters that are in the DLC deserve to be there.
Yeah, I think that's one for once they actually kind of fill the right holes in terms of the main roster, because you have the Hardys, which I think a lot of people were like, what the fuck, where's the Hardys? And thankfully the Hardys made it.
Yeah.
And then Elias is in there. And that was somebody who I assumed was already in the game.
I figured he would have been on the main game, but he's DLC, but that's fine.
Well, even for the NXT side, because obviously they have a lot of NXT guys, but they never got around to putting him in. And but he's in there now. I thought they would maybe do a few more 205 guys. I don't know. I mean, there's a pretty good chunk of them in there right now.
Yeah.
Like Jack Gallagher's in there.
Yeah. TJ Perkins is in there.
TJ's in there. Rich Swann. Tozawa's in there.
So
Grand Metallic's in there. He's barely, I don't think he really is on that show a lot.
Yeah. They're very well represented.
So that's good. You know,
and now that Enzo's in 205 Live and he's the cruiserweight champ as of recording this, they're well represented.
Well, I think like Tony Nese didn't make it. There's a few others, like Noam Dar's in there though.
Yeah.
Who's, I'm intrigued by the inclusion of some of those guys. Cause I like having like random people to play.
Yeah.
You know, I like having those guys as, you know, maybe jobbers or just doing something with it and just kind of having fun with it. So, and I feel like they're later on the Legends this year, maybe. It feels like it.
Very light on the Legends as far as DLC goes, because you only get the Rock and Roll Express.
We get the Rock and Roll Express, you get Beth Phoenix, and then...
Oh, yeah, I guess Beth Phoenix counts as a Legend.
Because they're doing
it as a Hall of Famer.
Well, they're doing like the Endure... It's kind of like a package thing, because the Hardys are kind of packaged in there, too. And they're like, oh, these are the Enduring Superstars or something, which... and I feel like there's one other I'm missing. But I will say that I'm actually impressed, too, that the DLC does include Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, that I kind of liked that. I saw him. I was like, all right, that's cool.
Well, first of all, that's cool. First of all, he's very new.
Yeah.
Like, he's very new to the NXT game, you know, to the NXT, like, mythos and stuff that's going on. And the way that they're presenting him on the show is that I feel like they're going to do something with him.
Yeah.
Like he's going to find a way to be more prominent. And I think I like him. I like watching him. And, it's nice to have a guy like that in the game, you know, just to, you know, beat up people, you know. So we'll have him there. And, you know, it's also as cool as those guys get paychecks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those guys will make a few extra bucks because of that.
Yeah.
And that's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like TJ, I also want to say that like Tyson Kidd is in the game, like in the proper roster, and he hasn't wrestled in like years. Like he's effectively retired.
The way I see it is like he's just there because they've already created him. So it's like, fuck it. Let's throw him in the game. He's
probably also there because he got hurt in the dark match.
Yeah.
You know, a long time ago. And, you know, they need to make sure that, you know, that they're covered. And it's almost kind of, I feel like it's almost kind of like a concession. Be like, hey, man, we'll help you out.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's true. Yeah, that's true, too. And I like that. And
that's two paychecks for Natalia and TJ.
Yeah.
The household. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, cause that's how you kind of have to look at that.
Yeah.
You know, about who, you know, when you think about it, it's like, those residuals are a big deal.
Yeah.
To a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah.
And so it's important that, you know, when you see certain people make it into the game, you know, you're like, oh, that's great. because of somebody that kind of deserves that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, most of them deserve it, you know? But
they all deserve it.
They all deserve it.
I feel they all deserve it. Another person who does deserve it but seems to have been left off of this year's game is Arn Anderson for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you don't need...
You don't need him, but, like, he's been in it for, like, the last few years now. Why'd they just take him out? Because Larry Zbyszko's still in the game.
Wait, Larry's still in it?
Yeah. So why isn't Arn Anderson in it?
See, now my question is if you're going to leave Larry solo, are you going to do a different Larry? Because that's what I would like.
Yeah.
Is I need a different, like, Larry outfit. Like, I want, you know, let's do AWA Larry.
Yeah.
You know, let's do something like that.
Yeah. Give him his karate gi.
Give him his karate gi. Give him, you know, make him, you know, with the mullet, you know, because right now he's just kind of, you know, it's just 92,
yeah.
91, 92 Larry. But I will gladly take a Larry from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, just because, I mean, that's what I will ask. Because, like, you're going to put these guys, keep these guys in the game, you know, mix it up.
Yeah.
You know, mix up the outfits. Like, you mix up, you know, I mean, I know, like, you really can't do much with, like, a Buddy Roberts or something like that, you know, because he pretty much looked the same his entire career.
Yeah.
You know, especially when he was in the Feet Freebirds. You know, Michael Hayes, I guess you can add some more looks to him. Although they only usually kind of do with him, I feel like they only... Well, no, they had the later Freebirds.
Yeah.
So I can't... Yeah, so they had that. But I'm trying to think who else is in there that... I don't know. But anyways, the DLC is out. And another thing, too, that we want to bring up is that... And it's something that's it's a bit of a... It's a change for me that the game is now... You could do arenas that are smaller.
Yeah.
Or at least they're supposed to be smaller. Mm-hmm. I mean... Aesthetics wise, they basically look like a college auditorium.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I was hoping for like a TV studio.
Yeah.
I was hoping for like a high school gymnasium because I want the smallest. I want like a rec center. I want a basketball net in the fucking, in the way of the entrance.
Yeah.
I want that. You know, I want the Flickinger Center.
Yeah.
So, but you kind of have that. You kind of have something similar to that. And I think, and they went out of their way to point that out in this video that I posted. I tagged Joe in. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll deal with that. And I'm certain we could probably make some fun stuff with it. So,
what I got excited was they showed like all the different matches and the big blue cage is in the game.
Oh, that's right.
The big blue cage is in the game. I'm looking forward to big blue cage matches.
Yeah. You can do cage. You can do a match editor, so you can. And also, I mean, I think this year is like they've figured it out, so you can have more guys in the ring at once. You know, so they, and obviously, I think it has a lot to do with not having to make it for the previous gen systems.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
Yeah, they have 4-on-4 matches now, which is awesome. You can have proper Survivor Series matches.
Fuck yeah!
Only thing I would have liked to have seen would have been 5-on-5, but I guess that's just really not possible.
You know what? If I can get 4-on-4, that's fine.
Yeah.
Not every. If I'm gonna recreate a bunch of 5-on-5s, I can leave a guy out. Like, yeah. I don't need to have Danny Davis on that team.
No, that's true.
You know, we can leave Danny Davis and Sam Houston on the sidelines and keep the rest.
That's a good point.
So
yeah.
You know, Scott Casey does not need to be in my game.
So I wonder if you have four. Because like they limited the entrances before to only 3 guys at a time. Maybe you can do 4 guys at a time now in an entrance, and that would be pretty cool.
Well, I think they did the Sanity entrance, so you can do. There's 4 people in Sanity.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So yeah, I think that's probably a new feature.
Yeah, but it better be. I better be able to do 4 guys and not 4 guys using the Sanity entrance.
No, they probably have a generic one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what they include.
Yeah.
Is like a generic option where they just kind of walk out and wave.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Because it's probably the easiest way to do it.
Give me a generic option. Don't give me just the Sanity. Because the lack of tag entrances is very frustrating. Because it's like...
You know, that's something I never really figured out.
Yeah. There's like a very... There was always a lack of a tag generic entrances. There was only a couple. And then you'd have to just choose from other tag teams, and it was very frustrating. I don't want to make my tag team come out to like the Bushwhackers entrance. Like, really, other than the Bushwhackers, who's coming out to that entrance? So it's like useless.
Yeah, you know what? Unless you're making like your buddies and be like, hey, look at my friend, he's a Bushwhacker. You know, no, you're just usually you have to stick with like the enforcers, you know, or something generic.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't want them running around being like dummies. But
yeah.
Another thing I wanted to point out, too, is the creative suite. So apparently you can now, I don't know what some of the other features are so far. I'm certain I'll probably discover those as I come. But you can now put body art, like logos, like logos.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On the skin,
yeah,
as opposed to just on clothes,
yeah.
And now they have it like a brand, like an emboss feature,
mm-hmm.
which they always kind of had, but now you can kind of emboss like tattoos and shit
yeah.
on the body,
yeah.
So you can really, and now they have it where you can day glow it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there's certain entrances that kind of cater to that, but I think in terms of for the stuff that I like to create, like the wrestler, or the, not the wrestlers, but like the superheroes and just, you know, things that are not wrestlers, you know,
yeah.
you can really step it up. And I'm curious to see what else they have in terms of masks. You know, they didn't really highlight that, but that's, you know, they got to leave some shit for the side, you know. And then they put in some new moves.
Yeah.
They have at the end of that video. It was too quick, but I'm certain that there's just a lot of good stuff, you know. And I know there's going to be more moves that come out in the DLC. I'm going to try to surprise myself with a lot of that.
Yeah.
So
I buy the DLC, the season pass, every year. It's the only game I do it for. I buy the game at launch and the season pass. So
I don't know if I'm going to buy it at launch. I'm trying to finagle myself a copy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to buy it at launch.
I'm going to pre-order it from Amazon for $45, and then I won't get it on launch day. It'll be delivered. Usually they give it to me by the next day, which is fine.
Well, the thing is that it kind of... What I like doing is waiting significantly for everybody else to fuck with it,
mm-hmm.
and put shit up and just kind of, you know, find out. It's like, oh, there's a patch that needs to go up.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Because, you know, it's going to probably be buggy as fuck.
Yeah.
But I kind of like waiting that out and then being like, oh, okay, now I can hop in and get it, you know, because I don't want to be like first. Sometimes I used to do that and then it would just be like, oh, this sucks, you know, and then I might leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think I did that with like the SmackDown games from like, you know, like the 2005, 2006 or whatever, like those kind of games.
What I noticed though with the patches, they never fix the bugs.
No.
The game's always broken. It's always broken to a point where it's hilarious. It's never like, you never really get frustrated. You just gotta like just enjoy it for being broken. Like a wrestler like just like running the ropes nonstop until you have to restart the match. Like
yeah.
stuff like that. And it's funny. So
I like when their bodies get mangled.
Yeah. Reason. I like it when like a guy on the apron, his leg starts twitching and causes the bottom rope to start shaking. That's always a fun one too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you gotta play it. You know, I would love to be a game tester and just be like, play every possible iteration of any match in this thing.
Yeah.
So you have to play as Noam Dar versus Triple H in a Hell in a Cell match, you know, and I'm like, okay. I'll do that. Like, that's my job. I'll come in and be like, all right, I'm going to play all these matches with these guys. And I can play every iteration and find out what fucks up and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And if it took me 6 months to do that and I got paid to do that, I would be that. Actually, that's a dream job for me.
Yeah.
That is a dream job for me. I will test that game, every facet of that game. You give me a list, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I don't even need a list. I'll just be like, I'm trying this, I'm trying that.
Yeah.
You let me know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that could, if granted, to do that, you probably would need like a really long time.
Yeah.
And then you need a finished copy of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't be able to do that, I think, quick enough. But I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So let's take our break, I guess. Let's
take our break. We're going to come back and talk about another issue of Wrestling Today.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, we're back. We've got Wrestling Today. Super Sports number 19. I can't see the date.
Okay, it's actually on the inside.
Oh, it's on the inside.
Yeah, because this is one of those poorly created magazines. This is Super... Okay, so technically the title is Super Sports Series Wrestling Today from 1989.
Oh.
Volume 1. Wait, actually, where is the month? Is there a month? Anyways, it's from 89.
Yeah.
So we'll just say it that way. We'll figure that out. Wrestling Today, of course, we've talked about this before, where wrestling is huge and thus today is small.
Yeah.
And then you have, and this is 116 pages.
It's a big magazine. This is the biggest magazine I think we've ever covered. So
we probably won't be talking about too much of stuff.
Yeah.
We're kind of have to, you know, but there's enough in here to keep us interested. At the very top, so on the cover, you just have Hulk Hogan, Wrestler of the Decade, right? And it's a picture of Hogan wearing the Fist helmet.
Yeah.
Which was a very... I forgot what the story was about that. I feel like it had something to do with Bad News Brown or something. I don't know.
He's got like a cape on.
I didn't realize there was a cape because it's like a gladiator get up. And I feel like this has been immortalized somewhere, like as like a toy or something. I feel like... Because basically, if you haven't seen the Hulkster helmet, it is... basically like a centurion helmet, but instead of at the top of it, there's like a fist.
Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous. And it was only like 89 that he wore it. Cause it's never made I've never seen it anywhere else.
No. And you can't make it in the game, which would be awesome if you could.
Hey, maybe you can this year. Maybe they'll figure that out. So you can actually put inanimate objects on top of like helmets. Cause you can't do that. But if you can, that'd be great. Or just give us the Hulkster fist.
Or if you could put a logo on the helmet, and then you could just make a logo of the fist.
True.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's the Wrestler of the Decade. And then you have Ultimate Warrior, End of Hogan Era? Question mark. I like End of Hogan Era. It's just like words. It's just like the end of the Hogan Era? No, End of Hogan Era.
Question.
The new Norman Lunatic. The new... Norman the Lunatic. They did spell that right.
He's a new Norman the Lunatic.
New Norman the Lunatic. A look at wrestling. Look at England's Mat World.
Ah.
The Genius and Mr. Perfect. Wrestling's most dangerous combination.
They were very dangerous.
They were. They did. Well, they smashed up Hogan's belt.
Yeah, they sure did.
Losing their minds.
Later became the Hardcore Belt. I still stand that is the Hardcore Belt.
A lot of people have debunked it, but yeah. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then at the top, real quick at the top, you have Dusty Rhodes, One Last Chance for Glory, and then Ric Flair, Who Will Beat Him? I don't know, someone. And then in the corner, color pinups, you have The Sting, Andre the Giant, and Jimmy Snuka.
Not the Jimmy Snuka, but Jimmy Snuka.
I wish it was the Andre the Giant.
Yeah, or the Andre Giant, or Andre Giant, comma the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if this sort of thing bothers you, get ready, because this is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to it. So right off the bat, we got ourselves a Jimmy Snuka poster from a different amount of time, because he's just wearing black trunks. I don't even know when that's from.
Black trunk Jimmy Snuka, that's a interesting
look. That's an indie Jimmy Snuka, forgot his trunks, Jimmy Snuka. And then,
same photo on the next page,
in our wrestling, the contents. Mm-hmm. And I do like here, there's an editorial written by nobody.
Yeah.
It's written by the editors. You don't know who wrote it. Glasnost did wrestling, and basically it's just like wrestling. Wrestlers there are wrestlers who are Russian, and how come we don't like that? It's just very generic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got to write 1,000 words or more than that. It's more than this. And then we have the Bolsheviks spelled wrong. So that's one. If you took a drink every time you saw him spelling in this book, you would die.
Yeah. It's almost like doing a drink of my favorite drinking game, the 92 Royal Rumble drinking game that I invented. Dead. Yeah. Anytime a dead guy enters the ring, you take a shot. But I think you'd get a lot drunker by doing spelling mistakes in this magazine.
Right. So now we have like their little hot wire segment. Like their news, and then there's a few things I want to point out here. By the time you read this, the Bushwhackers will probably be WWF Tag Team Champions.
Okay.
In fact, the Wild Duo from New Zealand do become champs, or if they do become champs, They will face a stiff realm of competition. Established teams such as Demolition, Powers of Pain, and The Rockers will surely be gunning for the world champs. So this is as of March 1990.
Okay.
So that would have been...
Demolition was probably the champs.
Or no, was it the Colossal Connection?
Or maybe it was the Colossal Connection.
Right. So... But the thing is, though, they put him over so hard here, but then the picture is the Rockers will be gunning for their WWF tag team titles in 1990.
Yeah.
Well, duh. They're tag team.
Yeah.
What's the big deal about the Bushwhackers?
The Rockers wrestling the Hart Foundation?
Well, yeah. It's probably from that main event.
Oh.
Or that wrestling Saturday Night's main event. They do kind of break kayfabe here because they're like, fans are still talking about the big boss man turning babyface.
Yeah, good boss man. Yeah.
You know, and then they're talking about him teaming with newcomer Tugboat Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to coming to WWF, Thomas masqueraded as a heel on the Florida Independent Circuit as the Big Steel Man.
And he also wrestled as the Big Steel Man at that wrestling challenge taping at Niagara Falls Convention Center that I attended.
That he did.
Before he was Tugboat.
So.
And he was managed by Slick.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I kind of... Is that on tape?
I don't know. I don't know if that match ever aired, but I was there. I saw it firsthand.
I feel
it
like
was...
they should, like, release stuff like that, because that's stuff I'm interested in seeing. I know there's a bunch of big matches, or matches with a bunch of big names that they released recently that are, like, unreleased stuff, but I want to see, like, here's Razor Ramon, you know, in one of his tryout matches.
Yeah.
Before he was Razor Ramon.
The Big Steel Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the Big Steel Man. I was like, oh, man, this guy's going to be great.
What was his deal?
He was just, he had a mask, and he was the Big Steel
Man. Did he wear a mask to the ring, or did he wear a mask where he wrestled?
Yeah, both.
Oh, see, that would have been better.
Yeah.
That's so much better than Tugboat.
Yeah.
He could have been a face, too.
Could have. Such a cool name, the Big Steel Man.
If Hulk Hogan was hanging out with the Big Steel Man, he would have been so much fucking over.
Yeah.
Jesus, man, what were they thinking?
They were like, you know what? We're going to turn you into a tugboat.
Oh, man. Fred Ottman's getting the short shrift, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. He's had a go.
Man, I would love to meet him and just pick his brain for like an hour.
He's probably a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I mean, he looks like a big friendly guy. He was Uncle Fred, for crying out loud.
It's Uncle Fred. I know. That was the evolution of the Shockmaster gimmick. It went from Shockmaster to Uncle Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just your construction worker.
Yeah. So if you can't have a conversation with Uncle Fred, I don't know who you can have a conversation with.
And you know what? I'm actually disappointed in the missed potential of the Big Steel Man as a face.
Yeah.
Because I, as a kid, I would have probably been like, Tugboat? You know, I was Tugboat, fuck that. But Big Steel Man? Fred Ottman wearing a mask?
Yeah.
I'm on board. So I'll just hop into this is one of those magazines where you got to hop to another page. So
yeah, you got to hop around in this magazine. A lot of pages to hop through.
So
and they're all black and white, not really any color ones. So
yeah, nothing of that. And then, there's nothing here on this page. It's just a bunch of like AWA sucks. It kind of says that it's like AWA has been suffering severe financial troubles. They only sold 180 to 120 tickets for their shows, and Larry Zbyszko and the Destruction Crew are unhappy. Well, I would be too. So yeah.
Fuck the AWA.
Fuck the AWA.
That's what they're saying.
See, that's what I want. See, look, if you're putting Larry Zbyszko in my game, I want a Challenge Series studio in my game. AWA Challenge Series. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The pink walls.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
I want that in my game.
I want a turkey on a pole match.
I want pole matches.
Yeah.
Give me some pole matches.
Yeah. Give us some pole matches and turkey on a pole match.
You know how to do ladder matches? Do a fucking pole match.
Yeah.
Put a pole match on there. Put, you know, silver dollars. Put whatever, a fucking coal miner's glove.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck you want to put on there. Coal miner's glove. Let's do that.
A flag match. I want a flag match in the game, too.
Well, they just did a flag match.
Yeah.
Why not do another flag match?
Yeah. Do it in the game. You know what else I want? A regular step ladder, like the one that Scott Hall wrestled Colonel DeBeers in. I want that. I don't want two-sided ladders. Give me a one-sided ladder. and let me recreate Scott Hall wrestling Colonel DeBeers for $5,000 or $10,000 of Scott Hall's money.
I want that. Yeah, that's a DLC. Can you imagine them putting out Colonel DeBeers in a DLC in 2017? And everybody being, and all the wrestling fans being like, who's Colonel DeBeers? Oh, wait, I shouldn't have looked at that.
Yeah.
I am ruined.
And then you could have them like so there's like, you could choose the referee and you have the black ref, and then Colonel DeBeers comes to the ring and refuses to wrestle. Like, you're trying to wrestle with him, but he just sits in the corner and you can't do anything with him because he's not wrestling because there's the black ref.
Wow.
In order to get him to wrestle, you have to exit out and then select the white ref and have him wrestle.
What a shitty hack this game is. That's fun. I don't like it, but I kind of want it in a game. You know what? Let's just make a UWF DLC. Let's just do a Reseda, whatever. Everybody wrestles in Reseda, California. Just give me all that. Just give me a bunch of shitty squash matches with Billy Jack Haynes. Billy Jack Haynes, man. Give me you'll never believe this DLC, and just give me like Billy Jack and fucking Colonel DeBeers and who else?
Al Perez. I would love to have Al Perez. No, we'll
give people that are like on the outs.
Oh.
Axe was in it before, so he's been in there.
Yeah.
Who else? Fucking Punk. You can put Punk in there. Why not? You know? I mean, I don't know. There's a whole bunch you can do. You'll never believe it's DLC. There you go. That's a 2K. You should do that.
I'm cool without Punk, by the way. Like, I thought I would hate wrestling when he left, but nah, I'm cool without him.
I don't miss him at all.
I mean, it'd be cool if he came back and had some matches with AJ Styles. I mean, that would be awesome. But other than that,
it's one of those things where if he were to come back and just, it would be probably the most unbelievable thing to happen in wrestling at this point, anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere. So he's the guy that holds that.
Actually, now that I think about it, like, you have AJ Styles, Kevin Owens would be another good match for him.
Well, there's a ton of good matches.
Yeah.
He can do Kevin Owens. He can do Shinsuke.
Yeah, Nakamura. I mean,
that's one that a lot of people would like to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do
Roman Reigns, even. If you want Roman Reigns.
They've wrestled before, I think. Back in the Shield days.
Weren't they, like, on the same team, though? Wasn't, like, the Shield in his corner?
Maybe. I think maybe at one point he wasn't, but trying to think what else. There's a few other matchups that you can do that are great with him. But so I'm trying to think. Let's say NXT. I mean, you got Roderick Strong, you got Drew McIntyre, you know, you got just a lot of good stuff. So Wrestling Today's official ratings as of March 15th, 1990. And they have a top 50.
Yeah.
And that's they're reaching for names here.
Yeah.
So
when Acts of Demolition is number 17, kind of makes me scratch my head. It's pretty high up for Acts of Demolition. I guess he was a tag champ at most of the year, so I don't know. I don't know how they did their list, but the Warlord's above them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Okay, so this is why this list doesn't make sense. So he's number 6-7. Acts is number 17, but in the top 10 tag teams, Demolition is number 9.
Okay.
So how do Robert Fuller and Brian Lee rank above Demolition in the tag teams when Axe by himself is number 17 in the top 50 wrestlers in the world as of March 15th, 1990?
Yeah.
I don't buy any of this.
Hillbilly Jim's on the list, surprisingly.
Well, he wants that title shot.
He's ranked right under the Junkyard Dog.
Also want to point out, number 44, Ray Rageous. Ray Rageous. Take a drink.
Oh, Ray Rageous.
Ray Rageous. Ray Rageau. I don't see Jacques in here at all.
I don't see Jacques.
Yeah, how does Jacques not get in here and Ray gets in there? I did mark out for Ray on the commentary recently. I saw him at the pay-per-view, and I was like, hey, it's Ray Rageau. Sans mustache, but there he is. You know, but yeah, I also just like how, like, top 10 for the WWF is, you know, it's got all these names. But then, like, there's something where, like, I don't know. There's definitely a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, it's all over the place. I think they just put names in an order. It really is. That's really how it is. And then we get to like another like dirt sheet segment in the Wrestling Confidential, and they're talking about, you know, just talking about a bunch of random things. Like, they start off talking about Ric Flair, and then they immediately start talking about Strangler Steve DeSalvo.
Yeah, and I see Steve Strong's name in there as well.
Well, Steve Strong is Steve DeSalvo.
Oh, so why is he Strangler Steve DeSalvo and Steve Strong?
Because he's strangling people in Puerto Rico. Oh. Or no, he was in Puerto Rico strangling people, but then he was in Canada as a strangler.
Oh.
You know, and then he was in AWA dropping people like garbage. And then they're talking about Mr. Wonderful coming back. He's back. He beat Wayne Bloom in an independent match.
Oh, good for him.
We're excited for him. But here's the most blatant and it's the most offensive misspelling. You know what? Tell me if you see it.
Chris Adams is spelled right.
well, I certainly hope you spell Chris Adams right.
Yeah.
Because we spell it with a Z.
What am I looking at? I'm missing it here.
You don't see it? It's kind of hard to tell, but it's terrible.
Is it Zabisco?
No. Surprisingly, it's not Zabisco.
Zabisco's fine, yeah.
Surprisingly, Zabisco's not fine. Bruno San Martino.
Oh, San Martino. Yeah, when you put the two M's together, like, I totally missed it. So you got NM, San Martino.
Bruno San Martino. And now here's the thing. Here's the kicker about this. So they do it here once, right?
That's a tomato, a San Martino tomato, I think. So
they do it here once, and then they do it throughout the book.
Wow.
This is unexcusable. That's it. Yeah. It's unexcusable because if you're, first of all, I'm assuming this is a magazine based out of the Northeast. First of all, by the way, I just noticed here you get a book about wrestling heroes and villains, and they spelled the Ward Road Warriors with an E.
Oh.
So don't buy this book. Let's see here. Okay, so it's a Northeast book. It's one of those books printed up in by Tiger Press or whatever. It's a Northeast book, you know, so this is written, printed by people that grew up watching Bruno Sammartino, and you get his name wrong every single time. Somehow you get Larry Zbysko correct, though.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because that is the name you could spell. I've just gotten used to spelling it correctly after 30 years of wrestling fandom. So, yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's just hop to the next page here, because this book is like 500 pages long. Here, let's just finish this off because there's probably some more.
I like how that wrestling videotape ad for the girls' wrestling tapes,
yeah.
They're only $14.99 each, which is very affordable back then, uh-huh. And you can get them on VHS or Beta, which is pretty awesome.
I like that.
Yeah, because normally those tapes are like $60, so like $14.99, pretty good.
Oh, and here's the other fucked up thing here. Obviously, you can probably see that one a lot better.
Don Morocco. But they spelt it like the country Morocco.
They continue to spell it like the country other places.
Yeah.
It is. They spell it here. They're just like, that's how his name is spelled. they're not even trying. Like, nobody. You can't say it again. You know, this Don Morocco has been around for a long time. By the time you're making this magazine, he has already had his run.
Yeah, he's done. Know?
And if you're making, and you have to tell, unless if you've never watched wrestling and you just got a bunch of, just found, heard a bunch of names, it's almost like they heard a bunch of names about wrestlers and they went, okay, let's talk about him. We'll find out what's going on with him.
Yeah.
But they didn't even bother to spell his name correctly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's going on with him. Nothing. Nothing is going on with Don Morocco in 1990.
So. Well, it says he's in New Zealand.
Oh.
Which, sure. Actually, yeah, nothing has gone on with Don Morocco from like 1989 on.
Yeah.
He did nothing.
He showed up in ECW towards the beginning.
He was there. And then he was in a Slamboree once.
Yeah.
In like one of the early Slamborees.
And that's it. Like, that's it. Don Morocco.
And then he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I wouldn't mind having a Don Morocco as a DLC.
Yeah, where's my Don Morocco DLC?
Don Morocco ain't getting no love.
No, he definitely isn't. I want to have the Don Morocco DLC.
I want his tombstone because I always liked his tombstone.
Yeah.
And I want the spike.
Yeah.
I want that. I want the Don Morocco shirt. I want the beach bum shirt.
I want Mr. Fuji in the game.
Oh, wait till I'm going to hold off on that for a second here. But
yeah.
So Dusty Rhodes, one last chance for glory.
And you got a black and white photo of Dusty just covered in blood.
How else would he be?
Yeah.
I mean, how else is there? And they're basically like, well, Dusty's in the WWF and, you know, he shocked everybody by showing up there, but does he have what it takes to keep being kid to come back, you know? But he's always going to be the American Dream.
Yeah.
I also like here that there's a sponsor for a video for Bruno Sammartino. Like a video. Is this a video?
Spelled correctly. Yeah, spelled color correctly. VHS.
Yeah. And it's spelled correctly.
Yeah, because they're showing like the artwork of the VHS.
Yeah, and they spelled that right, but
yeah, and it's only $10 each for those VHSs.
Ric Flair, who will beat him? Now, this is a great photo.
Yeah, he's taking a backslide.
Well, according to this, is grimacing with pain. Flair tries to break out of a reverse arm lock.
Oh, it's a reverse arm lock.
I am convinced whoever is doing this magazine or edited this magazine has never watched wrestling.
Yeah,
they can't because you would know what half of this stuff is.
Howard Feintouch, who wrote this article, never watched wrestling.
Well, no, I don't know if it. He probably wrote Watch Wrestling. Whoever edited this,
yeah.
Whoever was a freelance person, maybe is the editor. I don't know who's behind this. I need to know. Do we get anybody? Editor and publisher Lou Sahadi.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? That's I blame him. I blame him. Contributing editor, Don Liable.
Associate editor, Howard Feintouch. So there you go.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I blame them.
Yeah.
So Ric Flair, who will beat him? He's just talking about all of his contenders, just an excuse to talk about Flair. Real nice. This is a nice layout, though.
Yeah.
This is a nice layout. I don't feel like you see this enough in, even aftermags, because usually it's just, one big photo.
Yeah.
And then they do that. But sometimes they'll get creative, at least in the older ones. But this is great because it's basically the entire photo and then the text starts in the corner and then, the title Ric Flair, who will beat him is in the bottom. And, it's just a great photo. But we have Ric Flair's opponents. Just want to point out a few things here. Here's a picture of Lex Luger with no arms.
No arms, Lex Luger.
No arms, Lex Luger. He is taking off his robe, but it's completely black, and it looks like he has no arms.
So yeah.
I just want to say that. And then one of his contenders is Buzz Sawyer.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know what? I would have very much enjoyed a Buzz Sawyer Ric Flair match in 1990. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't be as good as I thought it was. Let's say Buzz Sawyer from 86.
Yeah. And there's a photo of Ric Flair and giving somebody an abdominal stretch.
That's Ronnie Garvin.
Is it Ronnie Garvin?
All these pictures are from him wrestling Ronnie Garvin.
It says Flair survived the storm of the 1980s, but has to be wary of the 90s.
Yeah, even though this picture is from the 80s. Well, yeah. Or it looks from the 70s.
Yeah.
I can't really tell.
God, I couldn't recognize Ronnie Garvin, so yeah.
It looks like Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, now that
the tights and stuff, I can tell that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they're saying some other contenders, Dan Spivey.
Okay.
Dr. Death, Brian Pillman, Zankst, Steiner, Rotunda.
I just listened on Jim Cornette's podcast that he said that had Flair not left for WWF, he probably would have had a program with Pillman and put him over.
Yeah, I think that was good on the books. I think he's had at least a few matches with him.
Yeah.
But Pillman was definitely on the come up with that.
Yeah.
You know, Dan also mentioned Kevin Sullivan as a contender. I'm like, that's a match I've never seen.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Kevin Sullivan didn't really wrestle a lot of guys. He just kind of I feel like he always wrestled squash matches, and then he would have a program with one person.
Yeah.
And he would just wrestle those people.
Yeah.
But he was always ubiquitous in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So
he had that feud with Hogan. I don't ever remember them having a match.
Well, they had the thing where Hogan won War Games that year, and then they had a thing where they beat him up. But that was supposed to kind of lead to that.
Yeah.
I feel like it was all leading to that, and then they just decided to not do it.
Yeah.
Because then they brought in the Giant, and that kind of took over.
Yeah.
So
they never had Hulk Hogan versus Kevin Sullivan.
From a kayfabe sense, Hulk Hogan is... gigantic.
Yeah.
Kevin Sullivan is a squat, muscular man who basically is primary offense at that point was punching you really hard and stabbing you with something.
Yeah,
and
but I know that looking back on it, that's how it is. But they should have had a match. They never had the big match.
And they had that blow off at Starrcade.
It would have been fun to watch.
I would have put down my money.
Yeah.
Or my parents' money.
The match we never had, Hulk Hogan versus Kevin Sullivan.
Give me a DLC with that.
Yeah.
Let's get Hogan back and then put out a DLC with him in the tower powers of the Dungeon of Doom.
I'd love to see Hulk Hogan versus Kevin Sullivan now. Current Hulk Hogan versus current Kevin Sullivan. I think it'd be great.
Kevin Sullivan still kicks around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'm on to that.
Let's have the match. Let's finally have the match.
Let's get this happening.
Yeah.
Next time Hulk Hogan does one of those Q&As, did you see that?
No.
He did he has a YouTube channel now.
Okay.
And he's doing video Q&As, was basically
Did he block you on the YouTube channel too?
Shawn Merrick's watching his brother. I gotta get him off of here.
I would be like, Hulk Hogan, how come you never had the big payoff match with Kevin Sullivan when you guys were feuding in WCW? Well, brother. And then he'd just scratch his head and be like, I don't know. you'd have to ask the booker. I'm like, okay.
But that was Kevin Sullivan.
That was Kevin Sullivan. Yeah, I think he would have loved to have wrestled you.
just imagine you taping this video, acting like he's responding to you, being like, yeah, then he's just like, yo, responding to that. See, if Hogan wound up, that'd be good. If Hogan didn't want to pay, if Hogan just didn't take himself so goddamn seriously, I'm not doing myself any favors to get him dumb black man, am I? The genius and
Mr. Perfect
are dudes.
Wrestling's most dangerous combination? Question mark.
Yeah, definitely a question mark.
Question mark is right. Yeah. Anything with involving the genius and dangerous.
Exactly. Oh no, he's gonna tumble lightly onto me, and he's gonna.
He's gonna read me a poem.
Well, I mean, shit. What if he calls his brother on me? I'd be scared.
That's probably why it's dangerous, because he's always got his brother on speed dial.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Laddie, what's up? Ooh, yeah. You want me to come beat up Sean Barrick in 1990? I can't do it, Macho Man.
Yeah, Joe Todaro in 1990 has Macho Man's wrestling buddy, so I don't think he'd beat me up. I think I'd be good.
Gotta spare that guy. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not known for my impressions. Ultimate Warrior, basically, a lot of these magazines, what they do is that they'll be like, let's talk about a wrestler.
Yeah.
And let's talk about maybe where he's at now, but then we'll just give his history.
Yeah.
Just talk about all these things he's done in the past and how that might play into now. Basically, that's all this Warrior article is.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's an excuse to show pictures.
Show pictures of him wrestling Hercules at WrestleMania 4.
Or any picture of Ultimate Warrior they have.
Yeah.
You know, that they found. Yeah. They're like, oh, here's a picture of his Dingo Warrior. Let's show that.
Yeah.
So here's a Wrestling Today's Awards of the Decade.
Awards of the Decade, 1980s.
So let's just kind of, I'm going to go through these real quick, but
yeah.
Wrestling Today's Awards of the Decade for the 80s. So mind you, this is for the entire 80s.
1980s.
Yeah. Most Improved Wrestler of the Decade, Randy Savage. Okay.
Yeah, you can make a case for that.
Yeah. Most Surprising Wrestler of the Decade, Ted DiBiase. Because they're saying, well, you know, he did all these heel things, and they do point out here, and this is something that kind of gets lost, but it's not technically true, but it kind of is. Say, few fans remember that Ted DiBiase was once the WWF Intercontinental Champion. And to that point, he was the North American Champion,
yeah,
which was the precursor to the Intercontinental Belt. And I believe he lost that title to Pat Patterson at some point.
Yeah.
And that was back in like 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here we are in 1989, so we're 10 years later than whatever. Most consistent wrestler of the decade, Tito Santana. Well, because he's never been a bad guy, he's always been a good guy. Good
for him. Yeah.
Most copied wrestlers of the decade, the Road Warriors. I'd say that in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, because you had Demolition, you had the Powers of Pain. They all kind of were...
What other Road Warrior clones were there?
Those are the two that jump out. Those are probably the most famous two. I don't know why people thought Demolition was a Road Warriors clone, because they weren't really Road Warriors clones. I mean, yeah, they wore face paint. That's about the extent of it.
If you wore face paint in the 80s, you're considered a Road Warrior.
Yeah. But the Powers of Pain were definitely right down to their haircuts.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah.
I think it's just like, yeah. Biggest overachievers of the decade, the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, they pretty much always had the belts on them.
Yeah. You know, and I'll give them credit, because they're a team that they're a very unlikely team.
Yeah.
Just by looking at them, and it was like, wow, back in the 80s, women, young women in the mid 80s thought those guys could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look, you know, they're not really like, they don't really, like, as far as like handsome dudes go.
Yeah.
I don't really see that.
No, definitely not. Like Ricky Morton, for how he looked in the 80s, should not have gotten laid as much as he did.
But even too, like in terms of like physiques too, because Robert, you know, I could see Robert, because he was like kind of like a, you know, he had the hairy chest. He just kind of looked more manly.
Yeah.
Ricky Morton didn't really have any, he was just kind of like a guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, granted, I would love to have a Ricky Morton physique from 1986 right now.
Yeah.
I would feel great.
Yeah.
I would love to have that. However, as far as like the other, compared to other physiques in the 80s, when you're talking about like Lex Luger and Sting flopping around.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You know,
I think both of us have Ricky Morton 2017 physiques.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on that Ricky Morton diet, which is probably nothing but Coke. I'm drinking Coke right now. Yeah. I'm doing a version of it.
Yeah.
He's drinking Coke. I'm drinking Coke, and he's doing something else with Coke.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm certain everybody assumed that for him back then.
I gotta imagine he's done with that, because it's like he's in the 60s.
Yeah. Now. Did you hear they're gonna come back?
What do you mean? Oh, at the Starcade?
No, but they're gonna wrestle.
Oh, I thought they were just making an appearance.
No, apparently they're gonna wrestle the club. That is the
what?
That is something that is happening.
What?
Maybe. I don't know. It's been reported of sorts.
I thought they were just like gonna come out and like wave. Like
no, that. I think they're actually gonna wrestle.
Wow.
So we're gonna get the Rock and Roll Express on 2017 on WWF Tet programming, and thankfully they're in the game, so now I can recreate that game.
Is that? I thought it was just gonna be a house show.
I think it's gonna be a network exclusive.
I like the idea of it being a house show though, and like being just like, oh, you gotta be there, and it's a cool thing to do. It's like underground.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they make it on the network, I will watch it.
Oh, 100%.
A lot of people are upset that they're calling it Starcade. Fuck it, I love it. Call it Starcade.
And they own it. They
and put it in Greensboro.
Call something Halloween Havoc. Please call something Halloween Havoc. Please give me a pumpkin-themed WWF pay-per-view.
Yeah.
God damn it, do it now.
Yeah, give me a wheel of spin a wheel, make a deal. Just give me a coal miner's glove.
Just give me fucking ghouls and ghosts and stuff. Just
electrocute Abdullah the Butcher again.
Just electrocute somebody. Fucking throw Roman Reigns in there. Yeah. You know, or throw whoever. Vince needs to bring back the chair.
Yeah.
That's got to be somewhere. You can afford that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, be like, oh, the lights are going on and off. Oh, no, he's dead.
Bring back Super Brawl while you're at it. Just bring everything back.
You know what? Just bring back WCW.
I want Battle Bowl. I've talked about that before. Bring back Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery. Bring it back.
Here's what you do. Cancel the WWE.
Yeah.
Bring back WCW. And that's it.
And bring back PN News.
Just bring back the 80s. Let's go back in time. Let's go back in time to this magazine. I want to do, I think it was in the episode. No, I'm thinking it was the other way. Because then there was this episode of Amazing Stories back when I remember when I was a kid, where like a guy like poured shit on like a magazine and like whatever it was on a magazine. So if he was pouring it on like a hot chick or something, like shoot, come to life.
Oh.
Magazine. But I want it the other way, where I want to pour something in a magazine and then jump into the magazine.
Yeah. So say you jump into the magazine, like this photo here of Ric Flair elbowing Ronnie Garvin. When I jump into that match,
You probably get tackled in the ring.
like Ric Flair's elbowing Ronnie Garvin, then I just show up in the middle of the ring. Like, I don't want to subject them to that
just,
either.
Just a bunch of security guards like, oh, no, there's the guy in the ring.
I'm like, no, don't worry about it. I'm getting out of the ring. I didn't mean to jump into the ring.
I'm from the future. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I'm from the future. Ric Flair wins.
Don't worry, guys. These guys are still alive. It's okay.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's like, what happens to me? I'm like, you host a podcast at some point. Like, what? What's a podcast?
Exactly.
And Ronnie Garvin's like, what happens to me? It's like, you go to the WWF and then you wrestle Greg the Hammer, and then you a couple years, then you like retire, and then you come back to like the gathering of the Juggalos, and you wrestle in the Polo, because that's at 3 a.m. He's like, what are Juggalos? I'm like, you'll find out. Goodbye. Greatest comeback of the decade, Jimmy Snuka.
I disagree with that. He had
any argument for this?
He had a comeback, but it wasn't much of a comeback. He just came back.
So here he is wrestling the most indie wrestler of indies.
Yeah.
Just some guy from the 80s with a mustache.
I think it's the guy who was bleeding in the earlier pictures.
Oh, maybe this is how he bleeds.
Yeah.
This is the, what's his face?
There's
another guy behind
him. There's another guy laying on the mat, and he's just in a regular amateur singlet.
Well, here's a match. I'm going to recreate. This looks like in the gym. I'm going to recreate this.
There's the Budweiser sign. Yeah. It's probably in California.
Yeah, let's do that match.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he might have showed up in the CCW.
Yeah.
The California one. So, yeah. But yeah, greatest comeback, and they're like, well, he had some problems outside the ring, but now he's back, and he's embroiled in a series of bitter feuds with some of the WWF's major stars.
I guess nobody in the 80s really came back, so that was their biggest comeback. So
I do like, but this is way, I don't know, I have a hard time reading a lot of these magazines, just being like, knowing what I know now, just being like, no, this isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't true.
Yeah.
Jimmy Snuka did not come back and wrestle anybody significant. He had matches with, like, Dino Bravo and Honky Tonk Man, and that was it.
Yeah.
He literally, that was it. Like, he did, you know, he might have wrestled for a few times, but did nothing.
And then he grew a goatee and wore boots.
Yeah.
And it sucked.
Hardest working. Oh,
he did have a Hasbro figure.
He did have a Hasbro figure. Yeah. Hardest working champion, Ric Flair. No doubt about that.
Yeah, that's.
Here's another one. Greatest feud of the decade: Sergeant Slaughter versus Iron Sheik.
No.
Exactly, because they wrestled. They had a feud for what, maybe like a year.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, there were so many matches between these two and blah, blah, blah.
No.
And I'm like, what? Yeah, like 1 year, but like, you know, they're like, oh, we also had Flair versus Luger or Hogan versus Andre. I'm like, yeah, those were all better feuds.
Yeah, you had Hogan Andre, which was probably the headline for WrestleMania 3, the biggest event of all time up until then, probably until now even. And then let's not forget Hulk Hogan Piper. That was a huge feud, kind of kicked off a thing called WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But no, Sergeant Slaughter versus the Iron Sheik, feud of the decade.
Nah. Okay, don't so here's so. here's another problem with this these magazines is that they talk about people that you're like, why are you talking so much here about
Nikolai Volkov?
Nikolai Volkov in 1990.
Yeah.
You know, and they're talking about like, well, he should really be having shots at the belt.
He had a shot at the belt
in 1985.
Yeah, on Saturday night's main event.
Why hasn't Hogan granted me a title match yet?
He gave you a title match.
And you lost.
You lost. You blew it.
1990.
Yeah.
It's 1990 we're talking about.
Yeah.
And
you're a Bolshevik now.
Yeah. They can't even spell your name right.
Yeah, no, they can't. From Russia with Hate.
I do like that title.
Yeah, that's a cool title.
That is good. Yeah. And we have like, and then like, it's like a 3-page article. It's like a gigantic article of him. Like, and the text is really small. So it's like, there's a lot to write here about him.
Yeah.
And I am not reading any of it.
And they had just photos of him backstage. There's one with him like doing the push-ups with the wheel on a stick.
Yeah. Like a boiled baby.
And then there's one where he's just sitting in a chair and he's got a headlock on somebody in a mask. The Bug is the victim of the playful headlock. The Bug.
I don't know.
This was a wrestler named The Bug.
Well, because this is the same. This is like, they're like, we went to an indie show and Nikolai Volkov is there and he let us take pictures.
Yeah.
That's basically
why. So why would Hogan give you a title if you're not even in the WWF at the time? You're not even a Bolshevik yet. So.
No, I think he is a Bolshevik, but they're, for some reason they're treating him like, this is like, they're treating him still like, so the Bolsheviks were still a team when this magazine was printed. I think there was points where he wasn't employed
by
the WWF, like kind of between. Cause I always thought he was employed from like 84 to whatever.
Yeah. Now I remember like Boris Zukov was like a singles jobber for a while, and then like one day Nikolai Volkov just showed up and they started teaming together.
Yeah.
Like it was like there was never like a big anointment of, oh, Nikolai Volkov's back. One day I was just like, Nikolai Volkov's back. And that was it. Like they never made a big pomp and circumstance about it. So,
yes.
Oh, and so we took a break for a second. I Googled the Big Steel Man and because something stuck out in my head, and he did not wear a mask.
Oh, see, now I'm disappointed.
He wore a hard hat.
Oh, but still, he should have worn a mask.
Yeah,
he was,
as the podcast was going on, I was thinking, I don't, maybe he didn't wear a mask, and he wore a hard hat and a black tank top and jeans. He was the Big Steel Man.
So basically, he was the Shockmaster.
Basically, it was the precursor to the Shockmaster.
Yeah,
without the Star Wars helmet.
Right. Disappointed.
Yeah.
Wrestlers change. They have a whole thing about wrestlers changing from federations, which I like that because it's such a kayfabe way of saying like, oh, they changed groups or whatever. Because normally you'd be like, oh, he went to this promotion, went to that promotion. But usually when you say federations, it's like, oh, he went from the WWF to the NWA.
I like how they always use the word federations back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is really, there's nothing here really. Just a bunch of like, you know, Ricky Steamboat did okay.
Yeah, Tony Atlas.
I like that they talk about Tony Atlas here, like, you know, like he's been anywhere.
Yeah,
you know, he was in, because by this time this came out, he hasn't. I think by this time came out, he hasn't been in the WWF for like 4 years.
Yeah,
and he doesn't show up until the summer of 90, and then he's gone like by like, you know, the middle, you know, early 91. And then he shows up at WCW, you know, later on. But they're acting like, it was like, oh, well, Tony Atlas has gone on to greater heights at independent promotions. In fact, Atlas is recognized as a heavyweight champion by an Eastern-based promotion. I bet it was IWCCW, because he won that belt a million times.
Yeah.
In our view, Tony Atlas has benefited the recent changes in his career, and we say he's a winner for changing leagues.
Good for Tony Atlas.
Because all he did was, because he even says it himself, I think it was like he had a bunch of like coke problems.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah. I am.
And then years later, MTV will do a special on you and watch your show get shut down for not having a promoter's license.
That's a really sad episode. That's really sad because there's that one kid, they're like, oh, it's his first wrestling match. And then he's just crying and he's holding a can of soda. And King Kahlua is trying to keep him, you know, trying to make him feel better.
Yeah.
And then to make up the money, Tony Atlas just does a shoot match with a woman.
Yeah.
And gets a shit kicked out of him.
And then they have Rapid Delivery Rory Fox on that show.
That's a good episode.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Rapid Delivery Rory Fox.
He continued to wrestle.
Yeah.
He was in he
was a wrestling paper boy, if you're listening to this.
That was the gimmick that Les Thatcher gave him.
Yeah.
I remember it was Les, he's like Rapid Delivery Rory Fox. That's gonna get the kids into it. And I'm like, no, it won't. Yeah, it's not going to do anything. You're just going to, because you wore like overalls or anything, and they took him off and wrestled.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't have any personality.
No.
Although he did go on to wrestle a squash match against the Hurricane in ECW in the WWF version. And he was wrestling the Hurricane, and one of his balls came out.
Oh.
And it was a very awkward like cutaway. But that's what happened in that. That was.
Speaking of ECW, did you get the survey from the WWE Network email that they sent out to a lot of their subscribers?
No, I don't read those.
Okay, so they sent out a survey and they asked, "Would you be interested if we brought back the ECW brand in TVMA?" For the network. I'm sure. Like, of course I would, but you have to do it right. You can't be taping it like before SmackDown goes on the air and using the same crowd. Like, you have to use an ECW crowd.
You need to tape it in like they need to do it like at a place. Like, they need to do like a tape. Did you go to the taping? It was in 2005 or probably 2005 or maybe 2006. It was at the Niagara Falls. Was it the convention center?
No, that's a casino now.
Okay, no, it was in Niagara Falls, and it was like this small ass arena. And it was back when the SmackDown and ECW were like a touring brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like you could do shows there, do something like just do shows in those kind of venues.
Yeah.
And just tape that and just be like, this is dirty. You know, TVMA, watch this. You know? And as I was saying, it's kind of like something you shouldn't have to watch.
They could even do it like when they do NXT tapings, like do an NXT / ECW. That's right.
They have their own thing.
Yeah, they don't even have to. They just don't do it like at SmackDown. Like, don't do it there.
No.
Yeah.
So Hulk Hogan, Wrestler of the Decade. Or no, this is what, again, Wrestler of the Decade. So they just, here you go. Wrestler of the Decade, Hulk Hogan. It's this great shot of Hulk Hogan giving an elbow drop.
Yeah, just like the 70s belonged to Superstar Graham and the 60s to Bruno San Martino.
God damn it. And then they do it again here.
Yeah.
I do like this. I took a picture of this on Instagram and I put it up. It's it says a picture of Hogan. He's holding a newspaper and it says, "Extra, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T start to train for March 31st. And it says the Hollywood Star Gazette. And then underneath it, you see, Mayor demands probe.
Yeah.
And I want to believe that the mayor demanded a probe about Hogan and Mr. T exercise of training. And I also want to believe that it's in Hollywood, California. It's probably not. It's probably Hollywood, Florida. But a man can dream. And unfortunately, Hulk Hogan will not answer my question because he does not follow me. He won't let me follow him. Here's a good article about Charlie Norris. Remember Charlie Norris?
I do.
Charlie Norris sucks ass.
He sure did.
But they're high on him here.
He's
super 6'7 cheap.
6'7 and weighs 280. I don't think either one of those is accurate.
No, I think he's that tall.
Yeah.
He's probably that big. He was pretty, I mean, he's probably in the best shape he was here, but by the time he got, like, I was watching on AWF, he was just like this big sloppy wrestler.
Yeah.
So, and he had like a cup of coffee with like WCW.
Yeah, I remember him in WCW. Because
this is 1989. So this is like the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
And then he ended up in like WCW in 93 and he just looked awful.
Yeah.
You know, but they love him here. Super Chief, Charlie Norris. And they're talking all about how he's trained by Ed Sharkey and blah, blah, blah. And he's been in main events his entire thing. And he wrestles in the Rocky Mountains and Pro Wrestling America. And he's, you know, just all over the place. And he's looking, you know, many of his foes have fallen to the wayside when he uses when he applies his deadly finishing holds. He mainly likes to finish opponents with either an Indian deathlock or a modified version of the Bad News Brown's reverse spin kick. Instead of using the front of his foot, Norris nails the man with one of his powerful calves. So I'm thinking, is that like the when the wrestlers do like that? It's like a drop kick, but it looks like they're hitting them with the back of their leg. Like Dean Malenko would do it all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to imagine him doing that. Also, I don't remember him ever. I mean, when he wrestled, he used a big boot, and he just looked really bad.
I've already thought about it more than I'd like to.
I like thinking about this. Oh, here's another terrible misspelling. So the Rockers, bright future ahead. And I'll let you find out how they spelled that.
The Rockers, bright future ahead. Young and talented Shawn Michaels at Ursa Green. Oh, okay. They spelled Jannetty with an I.
Yeah, you would be drunk by now. Jannetty with an I. And they continue to spell it with an I throughout this entire article. Like, nobody... It's inexcusable. It's really frustrating.
The thing about Marty Jannetty is I do want to know if he's able to bang his daughter.
I just read that today.
Yeah.
I just read that today, and...
Now that he found out that she's not really his daughter, can they have a sexual relationship?
Sure.
The way I see it is, what was holding you back already? Because you're already a scumbag. You might as well just do your daughter. So
hey, we can actually hire him. Remember that thing the Wrestling with Regret? They were like, you can hire Marty Jannetty to come hang out with you. And you can ask him these questions.
Yeah.
And he'll put you in a sleeper hold and he'll hurt you.
I'll just ask him. Like, I don't understand why you couldn't sleep with her even if she was your daughter. If you guys want to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, here's some wrestlers that they wrestle. Powers of Pain with Mr. Fuggy.
Yeah. Mr. Fungus.
Mr. Fuggy. nobody watched wrestling that did this book. 25 wrestlers' chances for making the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Okay.
This is the most orange picture of Hulk Hogan ever.
I think. He's ultra orange in this photo.
He is. He is almost blends in with the crowd, and it's just basically just hair and a mustache. He's burnt. And then we have, they're just like, oh, these wrestlers should be in the Hall of Fame. And they have Don Morocco, The Country. And they just, there's like 25 wrestlers. I mean, I'm not, whatever. And this is just for their Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not for any actually established Hall of Fame. This is just them being like, should we put them in? What's the likelihood? You know, I'm like, here's a picture of Captain Lou Albano that we took from another picture.
Yeah.
We didn't have an actual good picture. So here's half of his face. I do want to point out, though, there's a good picture of Rick Rude here, as you can see.
Oh, Rick Rude, but it's Paul Jones.
Picture of Paul Jones. It's like, yes, Rick Rude does have a mustache.
Yeah.
I can see how you can make that mistake.
Paul Jones did manage Rick Rude at one point.
Yes, he did. He did stand next to Rick Rude at some point. but yeah, that is clearly him. So I do not. Also, I do like this article here. There's a little thing here. Ole Anderson, another great veteran, also on the comeback trail. Anderson is as rugged as they come, and he can go head to head with the best of them. A great wrestler and an even greater person.
Oh,
I think I've heard that disputed.
Yeah,
I've heard he is not a great person.
I liked how number 25 was Hercules.
Yeah. And nobody got 0%. I was kind of disappointed that day because they said, well, if 0% happens, that means they have no chance of getting into our Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But the lowest everybody ever goes is like 40.
Yeah.
And like Hercules and like Honky Tonk. I'm like, and like Jake. I'm like, well, you know, this is not a legitimate Hall of Fame. So I don't care. But
the new Norman the Lunatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here he is.
Oh, because he turned face.
Yeah, because he was face.
Yeah.
So he was his face.
So he's new.
His face, here he is getting what looks to be his hair combed by Teddy Long.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a picture of him in shorts meeting Killer Kowalski.
Yeah, it looks like they were like, he was probably on an indie show and Killer Kowalski was there. And he's like, oh, can I get a photo with you? And he's like, sure.
He's like, this is going in a magazine. Fuck kayfabe. Where's wrestling headed? Definitely not. I don't want to know what these guys think.
Yeah.
Women wrestling, alive and well. Yeah, that's the thing. I think I feel like this is the same article that they printed in the other issue.
Yeah,
that we had
it could
here.
Be. Yeah,
like a giant article here. IWF launching pad for stars, a New England area deal.
And
here.
They have Iron Mike Sharp.
Iron Mike Sharp is one of the tag champs, or he's so. I don't want to make fun of this guy because this is a guy.
Oh wow!
It's manager Ian Fox.
Oh,
who looks like an old woman that I knew in the 80s.
Yeah.
She looks like somebody you would see in Buffalo at like Super Duper.
It looks like she was like... It looks like a woman that would be like taking my grandma's ceramic classes in her basement.
Right. Right. And I was saying, that's just how he looks.
You got Ian Fox, and he's flanked by Iron Mike Sharp and Mad Dog Richard.
There's a name. We should write that down.
That's a pretty awesome name. Actually.
Mad Dog Richard needs to be in the game.
Mad Dog Richard.
And we've got, yeah. So they're just saying, oh, here's an indie that's really great. And you got the Irish Leprechaun. You got what I assume was a barn burner of a match, Johnny Valiant and David San Martino.
Oh, is it David San Martino?
No, they got that right.
Oh, they got David San Martino.
I assume
right.
He is not related to Bruno. I think Bruno would at some certain points in his life probably preferred that.
The Irish Leprechaun is also a midget. You failed to point that out.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, he's Irish. It is not Buddy Lee Parker.
No,
sadly, it is a.
It's an actual midget.
I
wonder if he's still alive.
I do also like here the fans love the Pink Assassin, no matter how hard he tries to be mean. And I am not sure which one's the Pink Assassin, because I see two dudes.
Yeah, I see two dudes, and one of them, I'm assuming, is the Pink Assassin, has like a mask, but it's got like feathers.
Yeah, it's like a, oh god, I'm trying to think who's that. Like a tiger mask.
Yeah, it's like a tiger mask, but with a feathered mane.
Yeah.
And then he's got a feather boa, and just a generic singlet, and a lot of chest hair.
Yeah. And that's and he's flanked by another guy with chest hair.
Yeah.
Because it's the 80s.
Yeah.
And we're only
that guy's got a mustache.
This seems like a promotion that I would I would enjoy ironically.
Yeah, I would love this actually.
Because here you got a match between Johnny Valiant against Bob Orton.
Yeah.
In 1989.
Yeah.
Johnny Valiant is still alive, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Are we sure about that?
I don't know. I think he's alive.
No, Jerry Valiant passed away.
Yeah.
Johnny Valiant and Jimmy Valiant are still alive.
Yeah.
Here's Ian Fox again, looking like...
he's choking Bob Orton, so I'm guessing Bob Orton's a face in this promotion.
Which...
makes no sense to me at all.
Wasn't he a face in WCW or NWA for a minute?
Didn't he have like one match, though?
One match against like Dick Murdoch, and he was a face. Because, I mean, Dick Murdoch was a... That's weird. Like, guys like Dick Murdoch were faces at some points. Like, I just can't associate them with ever being faces. But and Bob Orton, I mean,
I love that quote from Ian Fox. The IWF has all the comforts of what wrestling has to offer. That's a great quote.
Like money?
Yeah.
Do they have money? Also, Scott Dickinson. I'm assuming this is the WCW referee Scott Dickinson,
mm-hmm.
who used to wrestle here or used to be a ref here. And there's a resurgence in independent groups. All right. Yeah. You know, this is a. It's good, you know. Nikolai Volkov needs to work somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
So does Tony Atlas.
And it's just a big article. I mean, they're just talking like, "Well, Big John Studd's going to be here," and then we got, you know, they're doing stuff in Nashua, and then they got, you know, they finally spelled Don Morocco's name correctly.
Oh, they spelled that and David San Martino in this article. So I'm guessing this article was submitted by somebody who watches wrestling.
Here's the rest of the roster.
You got Jason the Horrible.
Yeah.
Mike Lombardi tries to unmask a Texas Hangman. So you had the Texas Hangman. Mitch Kowalski, the nephew of Killer Kowalski. The Wolfman, which is a great photo. It's just a guy and he's got like a wolf head on his head. Like he's got like a dead wolf head on his head.
I think it just has a dead wolf on
his head. Yeah, he's got a dead wolf on him.
He literally has a dead wolf on him and he's wearing what appears to be a furry skirt. He is a very scrawny, hairy man.
Yeah.
Who is probably... his matches are probably consist of him punching a guy for 5 minutes and then that guy falls and he pins them.
Yeah.
And he never wrestles for any title or any actual match. He doesn't have any angles.
Yeah.
He just comes out, beats a person up, howls, and goes back.
And then you have the legendary tag team. Leading tag team contenders are Dangerous Dave Starr and Gorgeous Chris Duffy.
Look at those robes.
Yeah.
Those are some shiny, cheap robes. You know, but that's your IWF rundown.
It looks pretty interesting. I want to go check it out. And then you got a flashback of George Crybaby Cannon. He's done it all.
Yeah, he sure has. Look at him. He's doing it right there.
And then there's Boba Brazil talking about him. And
I don't even know Boba Brazil's talking about him. It's just a picture of Boba Brazil.
Yeah.
They're just like, he wrestled in Detroit and Boba Brazil was there.
Oh.
Or he does talk about
him. Yeah, he gives a quote.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they got that quote. So, yeah. But you know, he kind of looks like, I kind of wish there was a guy that looked like him today. He kind of looks like he looks like that Otis. Do you watch, so on NXT, there's the Team Heavy Machinery. Have you seen these guys?
No.
So there's this one guy, Otis Dozovich, who's just like, basically like, looks like this size. Actually, that's right. He looks almost exactly like him, but he's got long hair. But yeah. He has the beard like this.
Oh, I see.
And he's fucking awesome. I like him a lot.
And you got George and you got Cannon and his kangaroos are all smiles in the world with the world tag belts.
Yeah.
And in the last magazine we did last week, we talked about the kangaroos.
We did.
So now that I'm looking back, I wanted to flip through the other one and find that photo because I think he's in that Bobby Heenan photo.
He is. Yeah, okay. He's in there.
All right.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
That Bobby Heenan photo will make its way onto the web somehow. We'll put it up there.
Now we look ahead to England wrestling.
Yeah.
And they got...
You got Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Everybody knows Big Daddy. Yeah. He's like the Hulk Hogan of England.
Yeah.
And then...
Big Daddy is England's answer to Hulk Hogan in popularity.
He is. He was huge.
Ray Steele has Richie Brooks's tied up in an abdominal stretch.
Oh, this looks all very exciting. Here you go. Here's our Fit Finley picture.
Yeah.
Fit Finley wearing looks to be a sarong, mm-hmm. and he's flanked by a
Princess Paula.
Princess Paula. He's wearing a belt.
Yeah.
That looks like a nice belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a nice, you know, Finley's got the mustache. He likes shoulder adornments.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. And then I want to point out this tag team here who looks like these guys look like a new wave rock duo.
They sure do. They look like Hall & Oates.
They do like Hall & Oates. American wrestling. Or, well, they're Americans. That's why.
Yeah.
American wrestlers Brian Walsh and Johnny DiCarlo as the U.S. Express and their belts here. Those are some belts right there.
Those are interesting belts. They look like toaster ovens.
They do.
Yeah.
And I like that. I want that in the game.
Yeah.
I want all that.
The toaster oven tag titles.
I like that you're writing this down. This is important. And that's it. That's it for this thing because they just kind of revisit some other magazines.
Yeah, you got Andre the Giant on the back, and then you got Sting and
The Sting. Yeah, The Sting, and they also for some reason on the back they put the other headlines that they couldn't fit on the front.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, all right, I guess that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's it for The Wrestling The today.
Yeah, The Sting.
And The Sting.
As I finish my The Lum and Lime.
So thanks for listening, folks. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean and
Sweatpants Joe for me. And check us out on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. It really helps grow the podcast.
And mess with us on Facebook.
Yeah, look, I Can Talk Kayfabe on Facebook. Look for us. We're there. We're posting stuff. We're having fun interacting with everybody.
Yeah,
that's the
that.
Place. That's the best place to interact.
It's
I
the
feel.
Place to be.
Yeah, because Twitter's cool too, but Facebook is, you know, that's where all the kids are. So,
is it really?
I don't know.
That's where we are, at least.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, find us there, and thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again soon.